I'm interviewing today Russell Greer at his home in Greenmeadows, and we've got a very interesting story coming up here. Now, good afternoon, Russell.
Afternoon, Jim.
And if you can tell us your history of your grandparents when they first came to Hawke's Bay and anything at all from there, we'll be very interested.
Okay, I'll do my best. Some of it I've got written down and I can read out, and then we might just chop and change a bit. So, John Greer, my great grandfather, would have been born around 1855 in Kilglass County, Sligo, Ireland, and immigrated to New Zealand in the mid-1870s, or maybe a couple of years later. He was the older brother of Aitchison, who was born in 1860 and immigrated to New Zealand as well. John arrived in Littleton, bought a dray and presumably a horse, and then worked his way south through Canterbury into Otago, Southland, following the harvest and sleeping under his dray. He ended up farming in Longridge North near Balfour in eastern Southland, and for a time farmed in partnership with his younger brother. However, for some reason they didn't get on that well, and after a time Aitchison went his own way. Apparently the rift between the two brothers that went on after they parted company, but I have no idea why this was. John wanted to get married and the farm wasn't big enough, or it may have been a more fundamental reason. John Greer would have only had a basic primary school education, as was the norm of the time. Who knows? Now, the farm that John Greer had at Longridge North was not very easy to farm, and he worked very hard, not much return. I'm not sure exactly where it was. My cousin did find out some years ago. Apparently the high part on the farm was called Mount Buggery. Interesting. In the 1920s or thereabouts, he had enough and retired to Timaru, where he was pretty discontented living on a small section, whereas his wife lived in town. I don't know if one of his sons took over the farm or whether it was sold, but in the early 20s was quite a buoyant time farming in New Zealand. He may have taken advantage of good prices to sell out. John Greer married Margaret King, who was of Scottish blood and born in 1867 in Glashfield, Scotland. They had a family of four children: William Alexander, who set up Stuart Greer Motors, Aitchison, Emily, and Frank. John died around 1930 in Timaru, while his widow lived until 1953 and died at the age of 66. It's possible to get copies of John's marriage and death certificates from the Registry of Births, Deaths and Marriages in Wellington. Two brothers of the Balfour Greers used to own butcher shops in Balfour, and someone remember calling to say hello once. My grandfather, William Alexander Greer, known as Bill, was born in Southland and made a successful career in the motor trade, started in the bicycle business, when at the age of 16 he joined P.H. Vickery in Invercargill. With the emergence of the motor car, my grandfather switched to cars and learned everything he could about mechanics. For health reasons, I think the reason was he was run over by a horse cart, I think, and had a very bad gummy leg, and everyone will remember he had a walking stick for most of his life. Anyway, the south was too cold for him, so he moved to Hastings, where he worked for the Tourist Motor Company for a short time. He joined Hawke's Bay Farmers in Napier when the company started a garage, and was later transferred to Dannevirke when it opened a new garage. He was in Dannevirke for 2 years before returning to work at Farmer's Garage in Hastings. Later on, he went into partnership with Edmund Stewart, the other side of Stewart Greer Motors.
Right. You got dates for this?
Dates for...
Did he move to Hastings?
No, I haven't. In 1934, he started the business with Edmund Stewart. I've got a copy of his marriage certificate. He married on the 9th of November 1921 to Mahalath King, my grandmother. And that was at St John's Cathedral in Napier. So I've got that. Oh, in fact, I think I need to look up the passports for the evening, right? Look at that. So I've got quite a bit of history there. Longridge, there we are. Anyway, then my father, Lou Greer, I'm not sure when he was born, but I can soon work that out, because I know he died in 1975 at the age of 45. Yeah. Outlived my mother, who died aged 43. 17 months earlier. So, at any rate, my parents moved to Waipakarau in 1950 to open up the Stuart Greer Motors garage in Waipakarau, and we lived there for 5 years. I was born in Waipakarau, and then in 1959 they moved to Hastings, where the company built a new dealership. So we moved and lived in Whitehead Road in Hastings. I went to Hora School, then moved to Heretonga Intermediate, and at that time I remember we shifted to 509, I think it was, Nottingley Road in Frimley. That area's all changed now. Yeah, very much so. I've got two brothers, Philip and Jeremy. Philip's 18 months younger than me, Jeremy's another 2 years younger than that. We all went to boarding school, boarded at St Paul's Collegiate in Hamilton, five great years of my life. Thoroughly enjoyed it, learned a lot of people's skills. Wasn't very good academically, but certainly learned how to get on with people and played a lot of sport. So I came back from school, 1970 I think it was, I can double check on that, got some records somewhere, and worked in the family business in Hastings as a parts junior. I can actually remember visiting you, Jim, or my father on some occasions. And then, unfortunately, my last year at school, I lost my mother. She died very young from leukemia. And then 17 months after that, my father passed away. I was living with my father in our family home in Nottingley Road. Philip was at Palmerston North at Massey University, and Jeremy was still at school. So I was sort of left high and dry. And my godmother, Anne Crawley, who was spinster and a very close friend of my mother's, a dental nurse, she came and moved into the family home. And that lasted for about 2 years. During that time, I met my wife, Alison. And at that time, 2 years later, unfortunately, we had to sell the family home to pay death duties. My grandfather had been busy gifting shares of the company to my father so that he would not get caught with death duties, and it all backfired. So we ended up having to sell the boat and the cars and the house. At that time, Alison and I got married and we moved into our own home in Puketap Road in Taradale, where we brought up three daughters. My brothers went flatting in a family friend's household, Dr. Ted Shilton's house, where my godmother stayed with them for a few years. After a few years in the business, Edmund Stewart decided he wanted to move me to Napier and train me as a junior car salesman, and he thought it was best that I work under him. And as we were living in Taradale, it made sense. So I worked under him and his son-in-law, Peter Taylor, the company, and I learned a lot from Edmund Stewart. Taught me a lot of the basics, taught me how to handle people, never to ever get in an argument. You might win the argument, but you'll lose the customer and you'll lose the sale. So he taught me that. He also taught me that you always be completely honest. That way, if anyone ever questions you on anything, you can never ever get caught out. He said, if you tell someone a fib, somewhere along the line, you'll get caught out because you'll forget you said it. So there were some very interesting skills there. And I think I'm proud to say I became a pretty successful salesperson and worked myself up the ladder. I left school in 1971, started my first job with family company as a parts assistant. 4 years later, moved to Tauranga with my wife and took a junior sales role in that branch, which I've mentioned. From there, I worked my way up through the department to become a sales manager, then branch manager, before becoming a sole owner and managing director in 1997. Yeah, over a period of time, I bought both my brothers out. Jeremy was a branch manager in Hastings for a few years, and I haven't got the exact dates here, and then he decided he wanted to go farming. And Philip, who studied horticulture in Palmerston North, he was an orchardist, so he had no interest in the company. So over a period of years, I bought them out. And then the Stewart family, who were the Napier-based family, had the other 50% shareholding, and sometime later, the then company secretary, Len Morley, bought the Stewart shares. And I bought him out after he retired. He retired and left me in charge, but it lasted about 4 or 5 years, and then I ended up buying, well, the bank helped me buy him out, and I became sole owner of the company for the last 12 years, where I put my head down and managed to get the stage where I could retire without any debt. So I've got three daughters who all live in Hawke's Bay, Linda, Paula and Jackie. They've all married. I've got six grandchildren who live in Hawke's Bay, so very fortunate to have everybody, the whole family, in Hawke's Bay. Not many people can say that. What I did do while I was working, I got very interested in sailing. I remember going to the company secretary and seeing if I could borrow some money because I wanted to buy a yacht. I really got probably laughed at, I guess, but somehow, I'm not sure how, somehow I managed to buy a 22-foot Nolix trailer yacht. And every Saturday we would race that religiously and used to chase national championships around the country. Ended up becoming vice commodore of the Napier Sailing Club for a period of time. And then later on, I gave that away and became interested in golf.
Being vice commodore, I mean, what did you actually do? Or was it just
the
name?
Vice commodore was really helping run the club, basically. Yeah, running the club. Okay. I didn't involve in running the racing, managing the sailing club.
Yeah. Joined the Napier Golf Club.
Yeah, well, I'm actually vice president of the Napier Golf Club, which I've been for several years involved in the management of the golf club, which I thoroughly enjoy. Yeah. So I've been playing golf for about 30 years, I guess. Apart from that, we do quite a bit of boating, do a lot of fishing out in the sea, at Taupo, a lot of camping, family holidays, camping, biking, we do a lot of biking, yep. You know, Timber Trail and all the South Island trails. Yeah.
Overseas travel?
Yep, Alison and I did quite a few overseas trips. Alison is a passionate tramper. She was club captain of the Napier Tramping Club for 10 years. She took me overseas. I remember circumnavigating Mont Blanc over a period of about 12 days. We've trekked in South America, and we've done quite a bit of travel in Europe. In the UK, we visited relations. I got the stage where my knees got a bit gammy, and ended up having two new knees, and so I gave up tramping.
Two new knees, my word.
Well, half knees, as they call them these days, but brilliant now, not a problem. Retired on the 30th September 2012, I'm not sure where that time's gone. I had an opportunity to get out of the business, and I didn't have anyone else who wanted to take it over, so two separate entities bought the business.
Over that period of time in business, what agencies did you have?
Myself personally was Austin, Morris. We had several tractor franchises, truck franchises, and then we moved on to Honda in 1978. And then we acquired a period of time, which I'll talk about in the company history, we acquired the Nissan franchise. So we had dual franchise. So it was a bit tricky for me trying to run Honda and Nissan, and Napier and Honda and Nissan and Hastings, trying to keep the franchisors happy. Always difficult. Yeah, so I can remember in my early days in the parts department selling Beattie washing machines. But we are bigger than farm trucks and tractors. And that all started when my grandfather became a close friend of Sir James Watty, and ended up when Sir James Watty became Watty Canneries Limited, he was one of the original directors of that company. And so we had an inside running and supplying most of the Alice Charmer and Nuffield tractors and trucks to Watty Industries. Yeah. So that sort of got us on our feet, really, but it was Austin Morris days that really, I think, held the company in the best stead. So as a result of having the Honda and Nissan franchises, I was fortunate enough to win some sales awards. I ended up going to motor shows in Australia, went to the Japanese motor show, Tokyo Motor Show in Japan, visited a couple of Nissan and a couple of Honda assembly plants whilst over there, and one year Honda took all their dealers and their wives for a 3-week trip through the States to visit assembly plants, etc. over there. And they were wonderful times. Had an opportunity to race cars around Suzuka and Honda's other Formula One track called Toshigi. Yeah, so that was fascinating. So yeah, I used to have a lot of fun. Good comradeship with the other dealers. Yeah, most of the dealers are independent, a bit like myself. So we'll compare notes and work together, which will help. Yeah.
Anyway, well, Russell, thank you very much for that. You've given us a load of papers and photos to look at. And
yeah, there's a lot of records there. A lot of it's self-explained. It's all written down, but there'll be some gaps, and I'm happy to come in and go through with whoever. Try and fill some of those gaps and maybe just try and describe some of the photos of who and what they are.
Well, thank you very much indeed. And on behalf of the Hawke's Bay Knowledge Bank,
thank you, Jim.
We're delighted.